Today on the Track Worship Podcast.
You might attend a church that their focus is on attracting the seeker. Or, you know, and there's these, there's these terms that have come out that some of them have negative context or positive. You know, there's the concept of seeker targeted or seeker sensitive. I think seeker sensitive is the more negative term, and you know, it's gotten a lot of heat. But then there's the other term of seeker targeted. And basically what that means is that we're having guests over. Mm-hmm. Right? Our behavior as a family changes when we have guests over. We're kind of putting our best foot forward. We want them to come back. Mm-hmm. We want to give them a palatable meal. We want to have food that their systems can digest. I think in worship that is a very relevant thing to consider. So while we might think, and again, this is just our perspective. Some churches have seemed to have the ability to go very, very deep in their weekend worship, and they have the culture for that. But I'm noticing that a lot of churches take a more targeted approach on their weekend. They make that kind of centered around the guest. Mm-hmm. Not that we are denying those more intimate parts of worship, but that we're understanding that it might take people some time to get there. You talked about mm-hmm. culture and how long it takes to mm-hmm. generate culture.
And sometimes I wonder about that because you and I have just recently heard the statistics that came out from George Barna, the research group, that the church is having such a low influence on our society. I mean, something like, 3%? That the church is having a influence on. So I think, you know, even before this podcast, we prayed that God would give us sensitivity to navigate, because here's what I really believe. I believe that there's always a new sound mm-hmm. that's coming from heaven. Mm-hmm. I think there's a sound that we as the tribe of the Levites, the tribe, the priests, that Zach talks about. I believe we're always needing to put our ear to the ground and our ear to the heart of the Father and say, what are you doing? That's where we started with this podcast. What are you up to on the earth?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Because we cannot take the formula of being seeker sensitive and not being too intense for people, because there's the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot deny that when the power of the Holy Spirit moves, what I think it's all in how we steward it.
Yeah. And really going back to your earlier point of when we invite God to the process, seeker targeted could mean, God, what do you want for the people coming today?
Exactly.
You know, as we wrestle with these things, and I know a lot of churches do wrestle with them, and I know it's not easy, and every church is working really hard to be where God's calling them to be. And that's not an easy process. That's why we're not going to do any formulaic answers mm-hmm. here. But, just because, as we have done this over the years, trying to think of the things that have been universal throughout that process, even as we consider the guest, mm-hmm. that still is submitted to the heart of the Father. Mm-hmm. I think that's really the bottom line. Mm-hmm. Would you say that's true?
Yes, for sure. Because he is the source.
Yeah.
You know, if he's the source, and we are not the source, then we are seeking him for the direction of our body, the body of Christ that we are stewarding. Again, it's all about stewarding the presence, stewarding the people, stewarding the atmosphere, creating that ark that the Holy Spirit can flow in. Because either way, if you get off the ditch, either way, if you get off the ditch on the side that says you have to have, you know, 4 songs, 20 minutes, and do them this way, then that's the ditch on this side. If you get on the ditch that says you have to manifest something in order for there to be, you know, a move of, or somebody to be comfortable or not comfortable or what, you're off on the ditch on this side. So I think it's just a matter of flowing with what he is doing and trying to hear the sound that he's creating for your particular body of people.
I'm remembering something that I've never forgotten that a dear pastor I served in New York City said about, you know, a lot of times we talk about wanting balance. And so balance would be like somewhere in the middle. He said, sometimes it's, and oddly enough, this goes back to kind of the arc principle of things kind of ebbing in and out. Sometimes we oscillate, and there are seasons where we might oscillate more into, you know, spiritual manifestations and prophetic words, and other times we might oscillate into a more conservative approach because that's where God's heart is. You know, I've heard, you know, a lot of times Gateway refers to their season as a gentle rain, where there hasn't been this massive dump or outpouring, but there's just been consistent gentle rains to water the grounds. Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly where they are. So knowing where God has you in the season that you're in is, I think, a very important thing.
And we have to remember that God, when we seek him and we make him source and we are saying, let your kingdom come, and what is it that the people need to hear this weekend? Or what is it that the people need to hear? Like for us, we have multiple services. So what is it that you're speaking for this service, for this particular body of people, even though we're doing the same songs throughout the entire weekend or whatever, we're saying, where are you in this service? So don't you think that God knows what the seeker that's coming to that service needs better than I?
That's right.
He knows. He's seeker sensitive.
Yes.
I mean, think about the way he was.
He's very sensitive, and he's seeking.
And he's so, seeking.
That's right.
And look at the way he was when he walked. I love to go back to the New Testament, church, to the New Testament. When he walked here on earth, he was gentle with the woman at the well, with the woman that was caught in adultery. But he also was very bold in the way that he approached these people. He spit and put mud in someone's eyes. So, you know, he was very bold, and he did these works of his father. He exampled the way we should walk through all of this. And that is, he did the will of his father, the will of God.
And that kind of leads us into some more practical things that we can consider. You know, one of the hardest things for any worship leader, us included, is choosing songs or introducing new songs. And, you know, one of the things that is very, very important is making sure that as much as possible, the songs that we sing are familiar, so that, you know, if the song is familiar, it's going to be easy for a person to engage. So if we're constantly inserting new material and we're, you know, somebody comes in and it's like, I love that. I love the music, but I didn't know any of the songs. They're just sitting and watching you, and it's a rock show at that point.
Or they're watching the screens.
Right.
You
know,
the whole time.
And they're spectators. And, you know, the one thing that we really want to help people with, because they're coming in, a lot of them have a spectator mindset. But if we kind of consider familiarity, and this is where it is a little hard for the worship team, because you're going to get sick of the songs a lot sooner than the congregation is. And that's something to always remember, that you can't project your impression of the song on their impression of the song, because they haven't heard that song nearly as much as you have. And right about the time you're getting sick of it, they're just getting used to it. You know, so we need to consider that as we kind of think, oh, we're so sick of the song. Well, you know, we just kind of go back to what our good friend Zach says, is it's really not for you. Mm-hmm. You know, this is from you, mm-hmm. not for you.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes those worship moments, those intimate moments in worship, happen for the people when they're singing something as simple as Amazing Grace with just an acoustic, because that's when their hearts are truly focused on God, not on the screens, not on the worship leader, not on the platform, the stage, but they engage with God. That's the whole goal anyway. Mm-hmm. When that happens, that's the win,
right?
Is when the person disengages from you and engages with God. That's the whole goal. So if that happens on something as simple as Amazing Grace with an acoustic, then that's what we want. You know, the familiar songs are so key, and that is difficult for people who are creative, who like to have a lot of new, cool, you know, hipster kind of song selections. That's difficult, because you're pulling back and saying, man, I'd really like to sing that, but, you know, this fits better. What is resonating with the congregation? Because whatever's resonating with that congregation is going to create that energy and usher in the power of the Holy Spirit for the seeker.
I think that's absolutely right. And I think that it's important to honor the previous generation. You know, I don't think we do that enough, is honoring the previous generation. So sometimes pulling out an old hymn, all of a sudden now you have connected to a generation that was their contact, their point of worship.
That was their anthem.
That was their anthem. You know, and we have new anthems today, which are awesome. I doubt that a lot of the songs that we sing today will be singing 90 years from now. But when you think of songs like Amazing Grace, How Great Thou Art, mm-hmm. they have stood the test of generations, mm-hmm. and they still resonate. And you know, one thing that New Life Church does in Colorado that I love is that they always incorporate a previous generation or mm-hmm. previous generation's song into their worship set. I think mm-hmm. that is a great thing.
Yes, because that just goes back to honor. We're honoring their song, their sound. You know, we were talking about the sound of what the Spirit is saying to our generation I think that's just honoring what their sound was.
So another practical topic we want to kind of dive into is the service opener. And this is a tricky one for a lot of worship leaders, myself included. You know, a lot of times worship leaders, you got two types of worship leader. And what's funny is you're actually on this podcast, you've got both represented here, which is awesome. You've got the very exuberant, very outgoing, very extroverted worship leader. That would be Beth. And then you've got the very introverted, contemplative, melancholy type of worship leader like me. And when I think of the service open as a melancholy, it's like, for many years, it was my least favorite part of the service because I don't consider myself to be a cheerleader. So talk a little bit about service openers and how we can steward that, whether we are outgoing or introverted like me.
So you want, again, you don't want to have this formula, but you also want to have some sort of script that you're going to say. I mean, especially if you're not quick on your feet, you might just want to come up with something ahead of time that you want to say that really sets the tone and begins an atmosphere of praise. And we begin to look at Jesus, who is the way, the truth, the life. You can say so much about that right there.
Yeah.
And lift the atmosphere, begin to ascend, which mm-hmm. goes to that arc principle.
Yeah.
So I think a script is so important. Like if you have to practice it in front of the mirror, sometimes that's a good way to do that. That way, the reason why I would say to do that is because once that script is in your head and in your heart, then you can truly add your personality and be real and it's not fake. So I think the script will just help you get to where you need to be at the beginning of the service or wherever it is that you are going to say something and be concise.
I think for years I really, really resisted the idea of a script. And I think there's probably a lot of people who, you know, if you are melancholy, you don't ever want to come across as being fake. And so there's something about a script that feels like you're being disingenuine, you know. And so I want to kind of talk about that a little bit because I rejected it for many years because a lot of times I'd have people go, why don't you just say this? Good morning, everybody. We're so glad you're here. And we just want to lift our, you know, they would give an example script for me to say. And I'm like, but I wouldn't feel natural doing that. So I want to speak to that because I'm sure I'm not the only one that's ever felt that way. What I've come to learn about the script, because, you know, when I started doing like video trainings, because I do a lot of video classes and I do a lot of presentations, what I realized is that when I spoke off the cuff, I stuttered a lot. It wasn't fluid because I'm a verbal processor and sometimes an internal processor. What comes out of my mouth in a free-flowing format is not concise, and my thoughts would get chopped up. And I realized that, oh, wow, I really, in order to communicate a clear thought, I need to organize it, I need to write it down, and I need to repeat it. And this really did change my life as a worship leader. What I had to do is actually, I couldn't take somebody else's script. I had to write my own, because that's what's in my heart. So there's something that's in your heart. Write it down. Write it down, meditate on it, pray over it, make it yours, but make it consistent. And after you've repeated it to yourself and you've tweaked it and all this stuff, after about, then it's going to become your own. It's going to roll off the tip of your tongue. And then, even then, you're going to do variations of it, slight variations. You might change a thought here or there. You'll be able to do that on the fly because the general thought is just living and present in your heart. You know, so I just want you to know, you know, for me, the opening of the service and the closing of the service are the times that I just kind of have, I have just these thoughts that are just there in my heart. I say basically the same thing. And it, I kind of look at it like when I'm greeting somebody into my home, or if I'm saying hi to somebody, I usually say the same thing. Hey, oh my gosh, it's great to see you. How are you? We say that again and again and again. But does it become less genuine the more you say it? No, it's just what we say. It's a greeting. So think of the script as like your scripted greeting that mm-hmm. you're going to say again mm-hmm. and again.
Because then when the Holy Spirit does move in and there is that moment, Selah moment, maybe, that's happened a lot at the close where you're getting ready to close the service and all of a sudden you feel the presence of the Lord so heavy. And if you've been given the authority to flow in that for a minute, then, you know, the Holy Spirit can move in and just move in that script and you can flow with it and feel confident.
Yes.
Because you know where you're going and what you're going to say.
Well, I want you to talk about this next point because this is something, another area that Beth has been very helpful to me in is, you know, getting out of that melancholy state. And this is what I mean by melancholy. Hello, everyone. I'm so glad you're here. God's been so good to us.
Which is true.
Which is true. All of this is true stuff. But, you know, can you imagine like hearing this for the next 20 minutes? And, you know, it might put you to sleep at night, but it's not something that's going to get you excited.
Kind of creeps me out.
Right. But so I had to learn to use my voice. Like right now, because I've learned this, right now as I'm talking to you, I'm lifting the pitch of my voice, partly because I'm excited. We love doing this. We love reaching out to you guys in this format. And I actually love it. And so I'm imagining you listening to this and I'm getting excited about, you know, being able to share this with you. So I'm lifting my voice. Part of it used to be an intentional thing that I did. Now it's natural. But I had to, Beth used to tell me for years, okay, you got to lift, you got to get your voice out of here and bring it up here. You know, and sometimes when we train worship leaders, at first it's really unnatural because they're like, hi, everyone, how are you doing? And then, you know, you have to kind of find your voice a little bit.
Yeah.
But there's that, what we call the confident voice. Beth, you say this all the time, that people really want to be led. Mm-hmm. I want to be led. If I'm somewhere and I'm not sure of what's next, I want somebody to lead me. Mm-hmm. Show me where the signs are. Show me where the bathroom is. I want to be led. Mm-hmm. So when we're leading, we need to have that confident voice. Hey, we're so glad you're here. Mm-hmm. You're in the right place. Mm-hmm. You're here because God has called you. And what we're going to do is we're going to enter into his presence. Mm-hmm. You know, that's an example of a confident voice.
And being confident that people want to hear you and hear what you have to say. One of the things that I would say is a don't do is don't say to the congregation, like beat up on the congregation, like, boy, that was weak. You know,
well, we can do better than that.
We can do better than that.
Yeah, I've been guilty of that one.
I think there was two of you that's ready to worship. It's just that sarcasm that sets people, and some people, like my personality that would be sitting out there, that would be a negative connotation for me because mm-hmm. I'm already getting beat up on before I've even started. And so I think just the confident voice comes from confidence in your leadership. If you're confident of your leadership and you're confident of the script that you've prepared because it came from your heart and it doesn't feel fake to you and you're confident, then you can confidently say it.
Yeah.
You know, if you know where you're going, then everyone in the congregation they're going to follow you, you know, willingly
yeah.
because they do want to be led. They just want someone to tell them what to do and not bark at them,
yeah.
not yell at them.
Yeah.
Not scold them or lecture them,
yeah.
but lead them.
Or manipulate them.
Or manipulate them.
Yeah. I think something that is so good that I've learned over the years, too, is just declarations. You know, I heard somebody say one time that we don't want to ask people how they feel.
Exactly.
We don't want to say, how are you feeling tonight?
Because mm-hmm,
you feeling good? You know, it's not about how we feel. We don't communicate what we feel. We communicate what we know. And that's where we have declarations. Declarations are true even when we don't feel them.
Mm-hmm.
Declarations that God is good.
Mm-hmm.
God is here. God is present. God cares. You matter. Mm-hmm. You know, declarations, things that are always going to be true. We can say them with confidence. So if you're having a hard time finding your confident voice, I want you to find some confident declarations, things that you really believe. Write them down.
It's very good.
And say them. If you don't believe it, you're not going to say it with a confident voice. But if you believe it, mm-hmm. it won't be hard for you to connect with. Yeah. I want you to find things that are true for you, mm-hmm. that have been true in your life, things that have been life-changing for you in your situation, and declare those things over the congregation, because that is
That's
a
so
way
good.
Of blessing them and catalyzing them into their destiny.
That's right. That's so good. Which leads us to the third and final one is stage presence. And again, that feels like a performance thing. But I know for me, for someone to point it out to me, that someone said to me, why do you look so angry when you're leading worship? And I was like, I didn't even know I did look angry. And that was because of the intensity
yes.
that was on my face.
You are feeling intense mm-hmm. and communicating anger.
So you
anger.
Can look very angry to yeah. people out there instead of looking warm and inviting and smiling, yeah. but not in a fake smile,
right.
but in that confidence that you were just speaking of. That confidence is going to come through with the confident voice because I'm confident that when what God said before, he will do it again. So when I'm singing, do it again, I'm thinking of, think of all the times God has already done it before. So he's going to do it again. And in thinking that, there's a smile on my face of hope, of confidence, of declaration, not intensity, mad, angry.
Yeah.
So a lot of times that can come from having video, and you don't have to have big, you know, expensive cameras. Just have someone video you with their phone and give it to you so that you can give yourself some constructive criticism.
Yeah, I think that's very valuable. Until you see and hear yourself, you have no idea what you are projecting. That, you know, the biggest disadvantage that all of us have is that we only know how it feels presenting, we don't know how it feels receiving or experiencing us. You know, I even in really doing, I think this is our 12th podcast, I learned a lot by playing back some of the first recordings, and I was shocked at how it sounded and how much editing I had to do because it's like, wow, I did a lot of this or I did a lot of that. And just my own internal feedback of just listening back to those early recordings, it's caused us to improve our communication, even in this format, you know, and it's the same thing. If you will choose to do that difficult process of watching yourself and hearing yourself, you will actually be able to spot a lot of things before somebody else has to point it out to you as well. Basically, what we're talking about, and Beth, you quoted Graham Cook earlier. I'm going to quote him again. You know, one thing that he said that really stood out to me is that people are not going to remember your performance. They're only going to remember how you made them feel. Mm-hmm. And you know, I teach this to my vocal students a lot, is that your voice, your body, your eyes, your mouth, your ears, your nose, we are literally emotional transmitters. And when we talk about platform presence or stage presence, really what we're saying is, what emotion are we transmitting? Mm-hmm. Are we transmitting, I'm scared, I'm afraid, I'm nervous, or are we transmitting God's goodness, joy, peace, love.
Openness. Yeah, so
yeah.
Body language, I think, is very important, too. I think Darlene Check talked about this from Hillsong, with your arms being open, not closed into your body. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of times I put my hand over my heart as I'm worshiping because that's something personally for me that I am feeling in worship. So whatever you're feeling is what you should be portraying. Not, again, we're not copying each other. Mm-hmm. This is not a comparison thing. It's just the body language of being open to people
yes.
when they come in and being warm and inviting and not always standing there with our eyes closed, mm-hmm. but opening our eyes to show the light of God's goodness and of praise when we're praising and we're welcoming them in. It's very important to have an open body language.
Yes, that is so important. So the real takeaway when it comes to platform presence is not performance. The performance part of it is useless because no one's going to remember that anyway. No one's going to remember if you missed a note or if they hit a botched bass note or if they heard, like, you know, a hum or a static in the monitors. Nobody's going to remember that. They're only going to remember how you made them feel. So when we consider platform presence, the question that I would want you to ask yourself, and this doesn't just apply to worship leaders, this applies to team leaders, anybody making presentations. What are you communicating outside of your words? Words is one form of communication, but your face is telling a message, your eyes are telling a message, your body language is communicating a message, and we want all of it to be consistent, saying the same thing. If your mouth is saying one thing and your eye is betraying your mouth, then you've pretty much canceled out the message. Mm-hmm. And we want the message to go through. So keeping an eye and being aware of what our body is doing, what our eyes are doing, and what our mouth is doing, and what our hands are doing is really going to help.
So as we come to a close of our podcast, we just want to remind you that if you've been following our podcast, we're getting a lot of great feedback from all of you out there. We just want to ask you to take a minute to like, to rate, and to share. And visit us on our website at trackworship.com. That's T-R-A-K worship.com. And you will find in the show notes a link where you can submit your questions. You can give us feedback on some topics that you would like to see us cover. And also just let us know what you're thinking about the podcast so far. We have some wonderful guests coming up. As we're doing these series, we will break into some of our series and have guests join us. So as we're coming to a close today, Clay, would you just pray for the worship leaders that are out there that are listening, for the business owners that are out there listening, that we would have God's grace upon the technical part of what we do and also have His Holy Spirit lead us.
I'd be honored. God, would you allow your presence to come here with us and here with the person listening? God, we need your presence. It's your presence that guides every aspect of what we do. And Lord, first we need to hear from you, and we ask you the question, who do you say we are? Because that's going to guide and that's going to release us and catalyze us into what you've called us to do. And whether it's on a worship platform, or whether it's serving on another ministry at our church, or whether it's the service we do on the job, whether we're an employee or an employer, God, you have a place that you've called each of us to. And it's our desire, God, that you would release us into that and give us vision for that area, and that you would give us a clear understanding of your heart and show us these opportunities that Beth talked about how we can partner with you and your spirit and your presence to release your kingdom on this earth and to bring your people back to your heart. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us. Visit us online at trackworship.com. That's T-R-A-K worship.com. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and share.